the table, 15 children and just one daddy. Now the daddies don't want children, or at most just one or two. I remember how they used the old church house for a school. Now the schools won't let a Bible pass inside their chilly doors. How the world has changed in only one generation. They say it's for the better, but they know salvation is slipping through their fingers. As they turn their backs and close their ears to what the prophets all have told. I remember when the babies were delivered by the doctors. Now the doctors all are surgeons, making doors where doors don't go. I remember when the children were instructed by their parents. Now the TV is the parents, teaching violence and crime. Salvation is slipping through their fingers. As they turn their backs and close their ears to what the prophets all have told. How the world has changed in only one generation. They say it's for the better, but they know it's growing. Slipping through their fingers. As they turn their backs and close their ears to what the prophets all have told. Yes, as they turn their backs and close their ears to what the prophets all have told.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Glad to have you tuning in today. Here we are again on the 24th of September, and praise the Lord. Yeah, just had some people asking for prayer here. I ran the extra song tonight. Some tragedies are taking place in somebody's life there and their family. And I want to pray for them tonight. Things will work out for them, and God will restore things that are all messed up right now, because the enemy has surely unloaded both barrels on that family, on that couple, and their children and relatives, and seems like, you know, it all hit them. So we just come against that in Jesus' name, and we pray for this family, Lord, that, Lord, you administer to them right now. We bind the enemy. We rebuke him off of them in Jesus' name, and all the various tragedies that are happening and have happened already. And we just rebuke the enemy, command him to leave them alone, break the curses off of them, wherever those curses are coming from, send them back in Jesus' name. We send them back where they come from in Jesus' name. And we thank you for blessing that family and restoring things, fixing things in their situation for your glory, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray for that. For that family, in the name of Jesus, amen. All right, so yeah, we're going to lift them up some more. I just heard of these things and haven't fully digested it, but yeah, I will pray for them some more later on my own. Some news tonight. In Great Britain, British Petroleum temporarily closed some of its 1,200 gas stations due to lack of fuel, which it's blaming on driver shortages. That's right, shelves in stores in Great Britain are also empty and going empty, and government warns people not to panic buy. Right. You warn them not to do it, they're going to do it, right? And yeah, and the price of toilet paper is supposed to be going up again, and I mean, the shortages of it is supposed to be going up again. Pfizer's making billions on Biden's or Bitten's latest buy. That's right, and the contract between Pfizer and the U.S. government shows that Pfizer is being paid $3.5 billion for its death vaccine, for its latest mRNA COVID vaccine that will go to low- and middle-class income countries. So, tragedy, isn't it? Well, it is very tragic, and the VAERS report says almost 3 people per hour are dying from the COVID vaccination or jab in America right now. And yet the media, of course, will not cover that at all. You're going to hear that on the mainstream media. But that's what the VAERS report says. So people need to wake up what they're doing. Alex says that it's going to kill people within 3 years. That people have taken the vaccine. Now, I've heard another report from doctors that say 5 years, and all these different things are going to go wrong with their bodies. And tragedy. Why would people want to take an experimental drug like that and put it in their body? Well, I'll tell you why. Fear. People are afraid. The devil has scared people through the government and through Fauci and all these others that have Bill Gates. And all these who try to scare people to death, so they get this vaccine and they'll wear their mask and they'll be afraid, very afraid. And yet people need to wake up. This whole thing is really planned against the people of the world to bring in the globalist, one world globalist government, and to get rid of a bunch of the population. That's pretty well what people are saying and what the consensus is. And it's all out war on American people and the world, not just America. And so we see what's going on in Australia right now. That's so tragic. Yeah, we have a listener over there, maybe more than one, but I know of one that I talked to. And yeah, getting reports from him as well that they were quarantined for 12 days and yeah, locked up. LDS church leader urged mask wearing at all times while inside the Mormon sacred temple. Why? You're going to pollute the temple? Some people just don't get it, right? But, yeah, That's what the LDS church leaders say. But, you know, the Mormons are a cult. Do you think that they probably won't fall right under the global order? It's only certain ones that are going to wake up to what's really going on. And, of course, you know, I think Christians might need to get ready for martyrdom, because you never know that you won't have to die for your faith rather than deny it, right? People are going to deny their faith in these latter days. And since we've never seen anything like this, so this is certainly a sign that we've entered into the latter days. There's no question about that. And because we, in our lifetime, and in fact, we've never seen it in history, something like this that's taken over the whole world like this. So I think people just need to wake up out of their stupor. So many Christians just falling into this, like SBC, the Southern Baptist Convention, the global agency of the Southern Baptist Convention announced that it is requiring vaccination for all of its missionaries that it sends out to the field. Really? It's the first mission agency to mandate such a mandate. I mean, really? That is really one of the dumbest things I've heard. But, you know, that's what people do. You know, what they're afraid, and they want to fit into the system, and they want to do what they're told. And, oh, boy. Denzel Washington says that God has been talking to him in his prayers and telling him the same thing over and over. To feed my sheep, or whatever that means to him. But he said what he said when he played in the movies, it is not what I am, he said. And he's 66, going on 67, and he just buried his mother, and he said, I made a promise to her and to God to honor them by the way I live for the rest of my life. So hopefully he's going to honor God and be a true Christian the rest of his life and stop all his profanity and wickedness that he's partaken of in his various movies that he has done. Crystal DeGregorio, or however she pronounces her last name, publicly known by her stage name, which is Nadia Hilton, has resurrected her X-rated career of porn pornography after an unsuccessful stint as a pastor's wife and divorce. DeGregorio, now 37, previously appeared in 100 porn films over 10 years before supposedly giving her life to God in 2014 and marrying Fulton, New York Pentecostal minister Reverend David Bassett. And so in 2015, and leading New Beginning Christian Life Church, despite her divorcing, they married in 2015, but now she divorced her husband and boldly married another one and has returned to pornography. And yet she's still saying, well, I'm a Christian. Yeah, okay. How deceived and demonized people are getting today. You know, they think they're Christian. They think they're Christian, yet they're partaking of evil. And the Bible says something about be ye holy, for I am holy, right? And we'll talk about that a little bit tonight. But, hey, you know, going back into the porn industry. He said, well, I'm just filming porn that I do with my husband. Well, really? It's still porn, and you're showing it to the whole world out there that they can buy into your porn and watch it. So come on, ladies. You were a pastor's wife. You tasted of the things of God, and now you've gone back to the devil? I fear for your soul. Fear for your spirit. Yeah. Kent Hovind, sentenced to 30 days in jail for domestic assault. You know who he is. He's called Dino Man. Dino Man or whatever. And yeah, we see another person who needs deliverance. And, of course, I don't agree with his theology, but, you know, at least I think he doesn't believe in the pre-trib rapture anymore. But he's got some other things that I don't agree with. But anyway, pray for him that he will get his life together. Co-pastor of Living Faith Church in San Diego is also an active porn star, but he's still pastoring. He's the co-pastor of, the Living Faith Church in San Diego. you know, what's wrong with Christians getting into this pornography and thinking they can be a Christian? I mean, you know, I mean, can you be a Satanist and be a Christian next? I'm a Christian Satanist. I'm a Christian witch. And, yeah, we've already had people who said they're Christian witches. I mean, that's not new. But, yeah, so we're living in a world. We're living in the last days. I mean, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And we're certainly seeing things that, you know, we've never seen in our lifetimes. And in the 20th century or the 19th century, we haven't seen these sort of things take place in the world. So it's time for people to awaken and recognize, hey, I better get ready to meet my Lord. I better get ready to meet Jesus, because he is coming back. And we may be going into the darkest time in human history, even though it's going to be bright in our lives with Jesus and all. There's going to be persecution, and Satan is out to wear out the saints of the Most High God, and he's certainly trying to do that right now. Yeah, Army doctor reveals that more soldiers have died from taking the vax than from actually having COVID and dying from it. So in other words, more people are dying from taking the vaccine. That's true, but they're suppressing that kind of news. And it's interesting, in the country of Algeria, the whole thing is shut down because they're protesting. They're not going to take the vaccine. They're not going to put up with this stuff. And they shut down police force, the army. They all shut down on the government. And they're just not nobody doing nothing because they're not going to do them. They're not going to follow this ridiculous mandates and laws that they're trying to put on these people of their country. And if other countries would stand up like that, then they wouldn't be able to bring in their tyranny. But so many people are afraid and think that the government has their best in mind and only their best, and they would never hurt them, and they would never prescribe a vaccine that would harm them in any way, right? Oh, sure. No, they wouldn't do that. Right. You believe that, I got some mountain property down in Florida I'd like to tell you. Well, history ought to tell you something. No wonder they want to get rid of the history books, because, hey, tyranny has happened all throughout history. And when people get in power, tyranny comes forth, and usually it's not good. And they take power, and it's not government by the people for the people. It's government by the government nowadays. It's appearing that way, against the people. But that's another story. I'm here to preach the gospel tonight, and I don't want to get too much into all that. I'll give you some news, and now we're going to get into the word here in a moment. Praise God, and I want to be a blessing to you tonight. And so, hallelujah. Praise God. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Okay. All right, let's go to prayer here. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you and we thank you for another opportunity to be in the Word tonight. And, oh, yes, to be ministered to be encouraged in the Lord, to come closer to you and to be stirred up in the Holy Spirit so that we might walk uprightly in these days, these latter days of planet Earth as we have known it. Strengthen us, Lord. Strengthen our spiritual walk. Strengthen our mind, Father, that we can stand against the enemy in our own minds and our spirit and our body, Father. As we look at these things happening all around, and we're seeing people do such compromising things that are Christians and even pastors and leaders of great big ministries compromising and telling the people to get their jab, telling the people to get their, you know, to virtually bow down before Caesar and instead of God. That is sad, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that for this country, Father, and I know that there are many that are standing up around the world and in this country, and I thank you for them. Give them strength. Give all of us strength to stand against the wiles of the devil and the wicked one. No matter whether they wear suits and ties and sit up in an Oval Office or not, it doesn't matter, Lord. If they're of the devil, they're of the devil. And we rebuke the spirits that are animating these people. and controlling them in the name of Jesus. And we rebuke the evil that is trying to be forced down people's throats in Jesus' name. And we pray for a turnaround and a move of God in the country and an awakening of people, Father, in Jesus' name. Awaken people. Tell them to rise up in the power of God and holy boldness to stand against these wiles of Satan and tricks and treachery of darkness right now. Oh, Father, we cry out, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Father. We thank you that you care about your people, Father, your church, and you love us so much, Father. We pray for encouragement for those who need encouragement, strength for those who need strength tonight, Father. Finances for those who need finances tonight, Father. Healing for those who need healing tonight. Grace for those who need to walk in more grace, Father, and come out of religion and the bondage of religion and the lies of religion, Father. We pray you bless the time and the word here, the time and the message, Father, right now, Father. We give you glory for it. We appreciate it so much and appreciate what you're doing. And we just thank you for moving for your glory tonight in the word and in this time. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And we praise you all. Praise you, Lord, for all things that you've done for us today. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. All right, amen. All right, let's get on with things here. Are you ready? I'll tell you what, I'm ready, and I'm ready to take off with The Forceful Christian. That's the title tonight, The Forceful Christian. We're going to engage the enemy, and this is about engaging the enemy. It's about spiritual warfare. It's about being bold in God. See, don't forget that we're called soldiers in the Word, and we are destined to fight the good fight of faith. That's right. But it is a fight, and the Bible calls it the good fight of faith, but it is a fight. Don't forget it. It is a fight, not a passive sit around and do nothing little party. No, we as Christians have an enemy and we're engaged in a war, even if a person doesn't know it. Even if a Christian doesn't know it. Some Christians never stop and ask the right questions. They never stop and ask, why is all this happening to me? There must be a spiritual source. No, they don't. They just think, well, that's life in this world. No, this is not natural, people. There must be something behind all this that I'm not aware of. See, they need to think that. This is not natural. They need to think it. They need to think there must be something behind all this that I'm going through, something beyond the seen realm, something cosmic, something I need to prepare myself to engage and prevail over. Because know it or not, we are engaged with unseen forces, invisible but not totally unseeable, though. And you know what I'm talking about. And not totally unseeable because you see the results. I mean, just hearing the request of this family that I heard a while ago and all that happened suddenly upon them. That's not natural, see? That's something spiritual. It's an attack of the enemy. People are being attacked. There's something going on here. People need to wake up. People need to know that this is a spiritual battle here. You better be awakened. Better be awakened to it. Okay? Oh yeah, you're not having trouble with just the people at work or your dear family members or the government. No, it is the evil spirits behind that are inhabiting these people or animating these people and causing the trouble. See, I mean, hey, let's just face it. They're causing the trouble in people and government and schools and all of these things. They're animated like puppets on a string by the enemy. And people don't even know it. See, when you know it and you fight back against it, you push back against it and stop the enemy. He doesn't like that, and he's not able to use you as much as he did in the past. But we need to recognize these spirits and engage them, war against them, and prevail. I want to talk to you about the keys of the kingdom for just a moment here before we move on, because I think this is so important that people, and most Christians are not even using them. They're not even aware that they can use them. Matthew 16:18. It says, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against. In other words, this rock, Peter, was the actual word means pebble, a little pebble. So he's talking about himself. Upon this rock, me, I'm the rock of your salvation. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The gates of hell, right? Bill Gates, right? From the gates of hell, he's included, shall not prevail over you or overpower you or rub you out. This is what prevail means. They shall not rub you out, destroy or tear you apart. And then God tells us how to deal with the gates of hell in verse 19, right? He says to use the keys of the kingdom. Binding and loosing, keys, plural, two keys. And these keys can stop the gates of hell and even Bill Gates from prevailing against you. It can stop demon powers. It can block the devices of darkness. It can release or loose the things of above, of heaven, on your life. And even beyond your life, two keys, binding, the key of binding, the key of loosing, the keys of the kingdom. You can loose heaven and bind hell. And some of you are not binding and loosing. And the demons and devils are still messing you up. It's time you start binding and loosing. Don't let them mess you up. Don't let them rub you out. Amen? Your keys were given to stop the enemy and release heaven on your life. So you should be using your keys, right? Because from the beginning of this world age, since Adam and Eve fell, people have had to fight for what is good and what is God. Amen. Look at your Bible. It's a book of battles from Genesis to Revelation, war after war, spiritual and physical. But especially spiritual in the New Covenant. But all originate in the spiritual. And see, it's time that we recognize and accept the fact that fighting for what is right and good is part of your life. Let's accept it. It's part of our life. What are we going to do? We need to fight. Abraham fought for Lot, for his family, for his faith and God's covenant. Moses fought. Gideon had to fight at his first battle, as many of yours too will be, was to see himself the way God saw him. That was one of the biggest battles many people ever fight, is to begin to see themselves not the way they see themselves, but the way God sees them. Amen? Too many people are seeing themselves according to the picture that the devil painted for them all their lives. They've been painted a picture. Oh, you're so worthless. You're so unworthy. You're so, what's wrong with you? You can't ever get it right. And you're so messed up. And all the picture that the devil painted. No, one of the biggest battles is to gain the victory over what the devil pictured us as, and we saw that picture all our life. Yeah. So Gideon had to fight to see himself as a mighty man of valor, like God declared him to be. Why was David the greatest king of Israel anyway? Well, because of his fighting spirit. He was fighting against the enemy, and he had a tender heart too, and God called him a man after my own heart, and the greatest king of Israel. Huh? But he was a fighter. And when he wasn't fighting, remember, he got into some trouble there. He didn't go out to battle. He stayed back and hoard around, but he was promiscuous. Let's put it that way. He was promiscuous. Exodus 15:3, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. See, Jesus had to fight. He fought sickness, demons, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious people, the religious traditions of his day. And he's coming back as a victorious soldier and king with a two-edged sword in his hand. See, God is a God of war. The Bible is a book of battle. And the Christian walk is a fight of faith. And see, some of you, because you've either not been willing, you've been too lazy, or you don't know how to fight, have really been whooped up on and whooped up one side and down the other by the devil and throughout your whole lifetime, too many times. Too many times, and you haven't done any whooping on the enemy. It's time you start whooping on the enemy. Amen? Amen. You haven't known the will of God. Your family is a mess. You're sick. You're in poverty. You're in bondages because you don't fight, see? Too many Christians have been too lazy to fight. either because you've been ignorant or because you've been lazy or you've been just not willing or you don't know how. You've been whipped up on so much, see? Poverty, sickness, and death working on you, the curse operating against you. Let's go to Matthew 11. We covered the keys. Now let's look at this very important fact that we have here in Matthew 11, verse 12. It says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Amen. The forceful Christian. The forceful Christian. That's the title tonight. We need to have a take it by force mentality, folks. We have a take it by force faith if we want to successfully walk with God in this hour. Oh, man, because I'm telling you, the people who are serving the devil, they're being violent and they're being very bold with their evil that they're trying to shove down your throat and make you a subject to, and the devils in them are doing that. And so we need to have a take it by force faith if we're going to be successfully walking with God. The violent take the kingdom by force. We take the things of God because the enemy is resisting the things of God. He doesn't want you to have those things of God. We have to go after it. Okay? We have to go after it and possess those things that God has given us. That's right. Family of God, let me just say this. This is not a time for just studying about faith and spiritual warfare. No, it's a time for using faith and doing spiritual warfare. Our lives are spiritual warfare. Life is spiritual warfare. See, the children of Israel, they spread out the promised land. I mean, they spied out the promised land, and they knew all about it. They saw it and said it was great, but they didn't go in and possess it just by knowing about it, did they? No, they had to actually go in and wherever the feet tread, they would possess that land, right? But they didn't possess it just by knowing about it. And some of us know so much, and we got a head full of head knowledge, but you're not doing anything with all that you know. See, the Bible doesn't say be just hearers only. They said if you are a hearer only, you're self-deceived. It says be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. And so I think that what we've got today is a lot of self-deceived Christians because they're not acting on the Word of God. They're not living it out. They're not putting it into action. We know so much, but we're not doing anything with what we know. And I think we think, well, if we just keep learning, it'll all just fall into our lap. No, if we fight, it will fall into our lap. If we take it by force, it will fall into our lap. If we get the enemy out of the way, right, we'll have it in our lap. We'll have what we need. Yeah. So if we fight, if you don't fight, well, just wait for the sweet by and by and hope you make it, right? That's the way a lot of Christians are today. They're just waiting for the sweet by and by. We hope we're going to make it one day. Yeah. You can learn and learn and study and study, but it is time to act as well. The Bible says in James, faith without works, or meaning the word action there, faith without action is dead. If there's no action on your faith, then it's just dead. It's not working. And yeah, we've come out of Egypt, but some are going to never possess the promised land because they spend all their time talking about Egypt and getting out of it. They're still thinking Egypt. They're still thinking the land of sin because Egypt is a type of living in sin before you got saved, before coming out of Egypt, right? Now, one version says about Matthew 11, 12, it says, forceful men lay hold of it, right? Are you forceful? Or are you being forced by the devil? Right? That's what a lot of Christians are. They're not forceful at all. They're being forced. They're having life and the way the devil makes it forced upon them. And that's not what God said to do here. Okay? How to be forceful? Well, to be forceful, number one, you must know what you want. And once you know what you want, then you can be forceful and go after it. Right? Hey, look at Caleb. He knew what he wanted. To run over to Joshua here. We'll take a look at Joshua 14. Caleb, so he knew what he wanted. He knew what he wanted, and Joshua blessed him and told him, hey, go get it, brother. Go get it, brother. But you have to know what you want and go after it. Right? Joshua 14:11. It says here, and as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spoke in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims, that means the giants, were there, and that the cities were great and thin. If so be, the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed them and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, unto this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. So he knew what he wanted, and he went after and took it. Yeah, by faith. See, the just shall walk by faith, not sit by faith. Doesn't say the just shall sit by faith. You're going to sit around all the time with your faith.
No, it says the just shall walk by faith, right? So are you walking by faith today? Or are you kind of just sitting there? What are you doing? Huh? You know what you're doing
right now. You know where you're at right now. Are you a forceful Christian, or are you a just laid back, you know, lazy Christian today? Huh? See, you know, some of you are depressed, really, because all you think about is your enemies and your problems, your financial problem, your physical problem, your, all the needs of your life and the demons and how big they are. See, you're weak because you're looking at circumstances and the curse instead of overcoming the circumstances. You dwell on the curse. Hey, what's going to happen? Curse will overwhelm you. If you go to war against the curse and put the curse in its place and break the curse, according to Jesus becoming a curse for you, so you'll have to bear the curse, right? You can overcome the curse. But some Christians, they live all their life under a curse, or more than one curses, right? Because there are many curses. Curse of poverty, curse of sickness, curse of death, curse of anger, curse of so many curses. I mean, but how to be forceful, a forceful Christian? Number two, to be forceful, you must realize that faith is fighting. Faith is fighting. It's not just laying back and waiting for heaven to just come to you. No, faith is fighting. What does it say in 1 Timothy 6:12? Let's read it tonight. 1 Timothy 6:12. The good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. So fight the good fight of faith. It's fighting for things when it seems like they could never be, and when it seems like all is against you. Sometimes it feels that way. You know, sometimes you got to go to war for your neighborhood because you're just being overwhelmed by the demons in your neighborhood or your neighbors. Overwhelmed by what's in your neighbors next door and all these people that live around you if you live in the city. And even if you live in the country, you sometimes have neighbors and you got to fight against what spirits are operating through them. You got to go to war and fight the good fight of faith and say, no, devil, you're not going to come and manifest in my place and come against me like that. And people curse you. A lot of people don't like you. And you may not even know they don't like you and that they're cursing you. You have to be aware of these things, that somebody out there may be cursing you. And how many know words have power and people use words every day, lots of them. And probably a lot of those words are cursing somebody. Themselves and others as well, right? Absolutely. So how to be forceful as a Christian? To be forceful, you must endure hardness. Oh my, we don't want to hear that. But hey, things are getting very hard right now if you're not aware of that. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, 2 Timothy 2:3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Are you a good soldier? Too many Christians shy away from hardness. If it's hard, it must be, it must not be the Lord, right? If it's hard, it can't be God's will. I rebuke you, devil. It's not God's will if it's hard, right? Well, is warfare easy? You've been in the military? You've been out there in the trenches? Yeah, I've been in the military, but I wasn't in the war. But still, we were preparing for the war. And God is a God of war. And he doesn't lead you into easiness and laziness. He leads you into war. And yeah, there'll be rest at times. But remember when Joshua saw Jesus and he told Joshua he was the captain of the Lord's host and he had a sword drawn with his hand. Do you remember that event? We better go read that. Joshua 5. Let's go over to Joshua 5. Read this event with me, if you will. Verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him, and he said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, no, none of the above, right? But as the captain of the Lord, of the host of the Lord, I am now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord of the host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoes from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Well, I tell you what, can you imagine that situation? Being right at the feet of Jesus, the power of God Almighty upon you? And you're bowing before him. You know how many Christians are that serious about God before right now? I mean, really, if God were before them, would they fall at his feet? If Jesus walked in and looked like a man or a woman, I mean, not going to be looked like a woman. I've never heard of God looking like a woman. But anyway, he's a generally God, always male, right? But so we know that God is for us. And he's given us the sword of the Spirit, God's word. And the shield of faith. So we must also remember our key, binding and loosing. God gave us the power of attorney of heaven. Whatever we say goes. You hear what I'm saying? We can bind the strong man, enter his house, spoil him, take his goods. See, devils hate that authority that has been given to us, that we can plunder their house. We can plunder their house. You hear me? Whatever you allow or loose on earth, heaven shall allow it or loose it too. Moffat says, whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. See, you bind the bad and you loose the good. That's what we do when we use the key. We bind the bad. Satan is bad. God is good, right? And loose the good. See, we bind that bit of lust and we loose that wholeness and moral purity. See? Oh, yeah. God is good. The devil's bad. That's simple. Get it now. It's so simple. Yet so few believers even use the keys today, the keys of the kingdom. Oh, that God's church would bind and loose. I mean, we wouldn't be in the problems we're in today if the church was binding and loosing, would they? Would we? I mean, we wouldn't even have the person that's up in the district of criminals right now trying to direct the nation into darkness. We wouldn't have him up there if we were binding and loosing all these years if the church had been doing its job. Huh? I don't think so. No. But somebody hadn't been binding and loosing. Somebody hadn't been warring against the wickedness that tried to take over. We just, we'll just keep everything in the four walls of the church. Well, that's not what God told us to do. He said, go out and possess the land. Wherever the soles of your feet step. And take it. Take it for the kingdom. Take it for the kingdom. Wherever you drive in your car, take it for the kingdom. See? But you have to do it. You can't just sit there and expect it to be done without you taking possession. See? And warring against the evil there. Oh, yeah. Come on. Bind and loose up in that BC place, right? We bind the demons and loose the angels of God against those wicked spirits right now to drive them and rout them out in Jesus' name. We bind sickness and disease and we lose health. We lose health and healing right now. We bind and break the power of sickness and disease in our bodies and we lose health and healing in our bodies in the name of Jesus right now. We bind and break the curses and loose the blessings on us We bind and break the hatred and loose the love of God. See? See how you could use the keys? That's just some of it. See the great power we've been given? See the great power that we have, saints of God? Oh, my. Kings and priests of God? See, what have you been given? Think about it. You see what you've been given and how that you've been neglecting perhaps to use it even. See the great power here. Oh, man. Power of heaven is ours. You know, can you grasp hold of the power of what God has told us here and given to us? Can you begin to grasp a hold of that? Can you? It's yours. It's been given to the believer. Huh? Are you a believer tonight? Are you a believer? Well, then why not have what's yours? Why not possess what's yours? See? Bind lust in your life and loose moral purity if you have a problem with that. Bind up that worldliness and loose holiness and godliness. Bind that divorce spirit and loose a strong marriage, or bind that perpetual singleness and loose yourself a wife or a husband. That's right. This is war. And we're in it, like it or not. And the enemy, he just wants to devour you and keep you ignorant, keep you in blind ignorance. The longer he can keep you ignorant, the longer he can keep you defeated. See, my people perish for lack of knowledge, right? So ignorance is not bliss. It's bondage, right? Ignorance is bondage. Come on. You know what I'm talking about here. The devil wants you ignorant. Ignorant people do dumb things, right? The fool has said in his heart that there is no God. Well, I'm not saying all ignorant people are fools. I'm just saying ignorant people do dumb things because the enemy is able to influence them very much because they don't know about the weapons of warfare. They don't have on the full armor of God. They're not resisting the devil and having him flee from them because they're ignorant about how to fight. Well, they may be saved, but they're in bondage. How many know that saved people could be in bondage? Just because you're saved doesn't mean you're not in bondage. Come on. You know that. A lot of saved people I've met are in great bondage. I've ministered a lot of saved people in a lot of bondage over these years as a pastor, ministering to all types of people in all types of situations that the enemy has set trap for. And many Christians have fallen into the trap of the enemy, and it's hard for them to get out. Many Christians have fallen into the trap of offense very easily. They're offended. They're offended at some minister. They're offended at some doctrine. They're offended at God. They're offended at some other Christian. They're offended at some ministry, some church, some somebody, some wife, some husband, some ex-wife, some ex-husband. They're offended, and they can't get over their offense, so they're going to stay in bondage until they get over their unforgiving offense there. You can't live your life offended all the time. You'll live your life in bondage to a spirit of offense. You break the curse of offense over you and loose a forgiving, gentle, kind spirit on yourself. Amen? Not having that hardness of offense all the time. Hey. The good part is, though, you'll win if you follow him and you use your key. Amen? You'll win. If we're dealt with on areas that God wants to change us in, we say, oh, no, that's hardness. That can't be God. Well, that's not hardness. The word of God is profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So God's got to correct us, okay? Yeah, well, I'm leaving this church. I'm not going to hear that. They're too hard. The Bible's too hard. See, the mentality of so many today is to avoid any hardness at all costs. They don't want a hardness. But what do we just read in Timothy? For the soldier of God is going to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Huh? See, the mentality. Oh, I want to avoid that hardness. I don't want any hardness in my life. I want it to be easy peasy. We'll give part of our life, maybe, but don't demand it all. Some of my time, Lord, when it's convenient, I'll give you. But doing the will of God doesn't mean going the easy way. I mean, no, the easy way is not the good way, necessarily. Did Martin Luther go the easy way? Did John the Baptist go the easy way? Did Jesus go to the cross the easy way? No. Did Peter, crucified upside down, according to history? Hey, when we seek for comfort and the easy way, we're probably going to be running away from the battle into which God is calling you. Did you ever think about that? Running to the easy way? Soldiers are not awarded for the easy way and running away from the battle, are they? No, they're rewarded for going into the battle and doing some heroic act of resistance to the enemy or killing the enemy, putting him out of the system of battle. And this battle will not be fleshly battle, remember, but it's spiritual warfare. The physical is controlled by what happens in the spiritual. That's why so many have so many problems in the physical, because they hadn't taken care of things in the spiritual. See? And things have been allowed to come out of the spiritual and mess with them physically. Not just physically in their body, but physically in their relationship and in their finances and health and all kinds of things. See? So this is a spiritual war, not a fleshly or emotional war. You can't fight it with your emotion. You have to fight it with the Word of God and the authority God gave you and with the keys of the kingdom. See? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness, see? We're dealing with the spirit, see? Let me give you the results of warring after the flesh. You war after the flesh and use your flesh to war. You become tired and you become heavy and you start feeling burned out and worn out and you start thinking, well, can I ever do enough? So don't try to do the war in the flesh. Don't try to fight this fight from your flesh. This is a spiritual conflict and we need spiritual empowerment, spiritual power from above, from heaven. See, you know, if you're doing it in the flesh, if you're doing it on your own ability, it's like you've been fighting wrong, if you're like this. Warring after the flesh is comparing yourself with others. The Bible said don't compare yourself with others. Fleshly war is fleshly, and it'll get you bogged down in the flesh. And you'll need their affirmations and you'll need their pats on the back or you'll just feel like you just can't go on, see, because it's flesh. But see, you need to develop an attitude of war, a spiritual attitude of the mind. An attitude of war is the attitude and the attitude that, you know, I fight to win and I'm until I do win. See, that's the attitude you need to develop. I'm going to fight to win until I win. That simple. However long it takes, I will win because I do win because I'm in the army of God and God has empowered me to be a winner because he won on the cross. He made an open show of the devil triumphing over him in it, right? So really, we're not seeing much happen until we decide to fight and to do it not of our own flesh and our own ability, but after the power of the Spirit, the empowerment of the Spirit. See, battles are not won by laziness. They're won by forceful Christians, and we're going to have to become forceful and take the devil out and receive the kingdom of God, the keys of the kingdom and the kingdom of God, see, on your job, in your home, in your church, in your marriages. Amen? What are you waiting for? You're waiting for Jesus to come back? Well, you won't need to fight then. It's over. Right now is when you get devoured. Right now is when the enemy's throwing his flood against you. He's throwing his garbage against you right now. Are you a forceful Christian or are you a pansy-type Christian? Are you walking in holy boldness yet? Or does that spirit of fear have the dominion in your life and get the best of you? So many Christians, fear is getting the best of them, especially now. Listen, they're bowing to this spirit of COVID. See, when you bow down before that thing in fear, you get the bag, you go out and get the mask, you get do everything, social distance, all worried about it, then, you know, fear is getting the best of you. That demon of fear, you get the best of you. Well, how do you think Jesus would act? You know, that's ridiculous. Some of these preachers saying, well, if Jesus was here, he'd get the jab, he'd do it. Come on, you don't know Jesus then. Now, what would Jesus do if he were here? Would he go around and just bowing down to COVID and afraid to go out and minister and putting on a mask and afraid to cast out demons or get too close and lay hands on the sick or do anything, let the little children sit up on his lap and minister to them because, oh, COVID, we get sick. Oh, my. Jesus was never sick. There's no scripture about that. Jesus wasn't sick. Huh?
Well, I know Christian so and so, they got sick, they got COVID. I know so and so did this, this, blah, 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 blah. And we got that fear going around, yeah. Well, so and so may have been. You didn't walk in their shoes. See, maybe you got it. Maybe you were walking in fear, see. See, nobody knows what goes on in your mind except you and God and the devil knows a lot of it. You don't know everything. He can't read your spirit. He might read your mind because he's got demons in your mind. But he can't get in your spirit to read what's going on in your spirit from the mind of Christ in there. Right? So he can maybe read your natural mind because he's attached to it in so many cases. So come on, folks, out. Think about this, really. Are you bowing down to fear like so much of the world did? And now look at that. They've acquiesced to these power-hungry globalist leaders. And now they're beginning to see the dark side more and more and more, and they're going to see it more and more as the days go by. We're going to have to wage war, folks. Wage war till Jesus comes. Spiritual battle is not going to end until Jesus comes, folks. Okay. Well, God bless you, brother. Bye. All right. He will come as the ultimate conqueror with a two-edged sword in his hand. And we're told in Scripture to expose evil, to resist evil, to cast out evil, and to overcome evil. Not just put up with it. We're not told just to put up with evil and let it have its way with us, with our family, with our nation, with our world. No, no, no. We're not told that. No, we don't have to learn. We're going to have to learn to close doors in our lives that we have left open. You know what? If you leave a door open, something's going to come in, right? Oh, yeah. You know that. If you leave a door open, something's going to come into your door. What are you doing leaving that door open in your life right now? Because you're leaving it open, the enemy's moving in right now. You got to close the door if you want to see a victorious, overcoming life. You know what? Make your house secure, okay? Make your house secure. Close the doors. Because, hey, what comes through that door might be a big old bear. And they will come in and feed on your house, even making it their own house. If they are unresisted, that bear of lust might move in, like I told you in the news. These two pastors or people in ministry, they're porno people. What? Well, I don't realize the woman got out of it and divorced her pastor husband, but still, she was in ministry, and now she's back in porn after making 100 porn films. Now she's back in it after becoming a Christian for a little while. Well, you remember the parable of the sower went out and sowed the seed. Some fell by the wayside. Some fell into the good ground. The birds devoured. Right? The bird speaks of the demons. The demons came against them, and they gave up their seed. The demons got in there and stole it from them while they gave it up to the demons. So, yeah, raccoons, mice. All these different things come in through open doors, squirrels, bears, possums. We had a possum in one of our houses one time. We rented a house one time, and it was so old. It was so junky. It should have been torn down. And we went in there, and there was a possum under the kitchen sink. We decided not to rent that house, and it turns out they did tear it down after we got our stuff out of there. That place was a dump. But that was our early years of ministry. We didn't have a lot of money in those days. We don't have a lot today, but I'm telling you, we don't have to just rent a place like that right now. But those days were rough, extremely rough. But we believed God, and he provided. And they did tear that house down shortly after we moved out, right? Nobody else moved into it after us. Nobody. But anyway,
These are our absolute enemies, my friend. And you really should open the door to your worst enemy, to devils. Don't be afraid to be forceful. Don't be afraid to take a stand against the enemy until you see the victory that you so desperately need right now. Amen. Because, you know, listen, it isn't going to get easier because we're living in the last days. And the Bible says these days are going to be perilous times, times like no other since the beginning of time, right? Oh, yeah. So let's go to Colossians 2. We'll talk about some other very important things here tonight, but if we have time. Colossians 2, verse 8. It says, beware. This is a beware. Talking to Christians. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. That Greek word is suga, for spoil, is sulagogeo. And it means to carry off or to lead captive or to carry you off. This is a beware, folks. So don't be carried off by these things. Don't be spoiled. How many people have been spoiled today in the church today? Spoiled by the enemy. See, we have a problem in the church today because of the teachings of man and demons, which has brought many into bondage today. And see, this broadcast is a reprogramming school and a teaching school, but, you know, it's got to get some stuff out and get the right stuff in. See? And if a computer is programmed wrong, it must be reprogrammed correctly. If a human being is programmed wrong, they're going to have to be reprogrammed. And here we are programming Jesus into you and truth into you. And if I'm not directing you closer to Jesus, then I've missed my calling of God and I've missed this calling. But the Bible says the traditions of men have made the word of God of no effect. Well, what are the traditions of man? Well, it's certainly not living in grace, that's for sure. And it's legalism and law. And what does law and legalism do? They'll take from you the purity, the completeness, the anointing to do warfare, and the sweet love relationship that Jesus has for you. They'll steal this stuff away. The traditions of men, the Bible says, to make the word of God of none effect. Remember that scripture? That's right. That's pretty bad when it makes the word of none effect. That's why Jesus was so against these wicked Pharisees and Sadducees. Right? Oh, yeah. Many pastors and ministers and Christians propagate law and legalism because they themselves are living under it. And if one is under this yoke of bondage, then he too is going to try to bring other people into the same yoke because that's their revelation of God. That's their false philosophy. I want to give you some examples of false philosophies about Christianity and law and legalism in the church. If you divorce, you will go to hell. Well, you mean that divorce is the unforgivable sin? Come on, that's really a deception of legalism right there. There may be blood on your hands if you haven't witnessed to everybody you meet, you know. Oh, that means you might not get into heaven if you have blood on your hands. Wait a minute. Doesn't his blood cleanse you from all unrighteousness? Isn't that an Old Testament scripture anyway, and it doesn't even say that in the New Testament? God works in mysterious ways. Oh, I thought we could have the mind of Christ. And if we have the mind of Christ, then he will reveal what he does to his servants. So don't feed me these lines of religion and tradition. I don't buy it. Oh, you better hope God isn't mad at you, because if he is, you might not make it to the pearly gates. All right? Oh, really? You think God is mad at you? Is he mad at his own son? You've been brought in, and you've been joined to the Lord. He just joined the Lord, one spirit with the Lord. Is he mad at his own spirit? Come on. Tongues is of the devil. Is that why Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all? Huh? I guess Paul is of the devil then. He was speaking in tongues more than everybody else then. Right? You see this stupid religious tradition? These religious spirits try to hinder the things of God? Oh, if you leave this church, you'll go to hell. You're in rebellion. Well, isn't that a control of insecure leadership? Isn't that a demon manifesting through the leadership? I've heard this over and over from people that their pastors have told them, or leaders tell them, if they left that church, they would go to hell. This is not just one time I've heard this. I've heard this a number of times from people. Oh, yeah. Oh, deliverance. A Christian could not have a demon. Right? Hey, that's part of the Assembly of God doctrinal statement. A Christian can't have a demon. Well, is there a scripture that says he can't have a demon? Is there a scripture that says he can have a demon? Well, the Bible calls it the children's bread. It didn't call it the Gentile bread, the lost person's bread. It's the children's bread. Deliverance is the children's bread. If there's a spirit, if there's a scripture that shows that a Christian can't have a demon, please show me. I'd like to see it, because nobody's been able to show me that yet. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, don't wear your makeup or perm your hair. You might look too pretty. You'll go to hell. Women can't wear makeup. What, give me the chapter verse for that one. No, they shouldn't look gaudy or hoary. Women can't do anything in ministry. Well, what about Phoebe? What about Aquila and Priscilla? Come on. Well, it's more doctrine from the Assembly of God. I'll give you the one. And Christian can't have a demon. Christian can't hold offices in the church if they're divorced. Really, is divorce the unforgivable sin? They let murderers hold office. Why couldn't they let somebody who's been divorced hold office? See, God didn't say that. If you don't believe in the pre-trib rapture, you're a heretic. That's also an Assembly of God doctrine. They believe that the pre-trib rapture. Well, that's odd, because Charles Spurgeon, Charles Finney, John Wycliffe, and John the Apostle didn't believe in a pre-trib rapture. They must be heretics then, huh? Each denomination has a bunch of traditions and laws. Do they bring us closer to Jesus? Well, you answer that question. Or do they bring us further from him and more into bondage to a religion or a denomination? Come on, let's read on here. Colossians 2:15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it, or publicly. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath day, which are simply a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. So these Hebrew root groups and Messianic groups that say, if you don't keep Saturday as a Sabbath, you're going to hell. You're not saved. You're not right with God. God's not saying that. He's not saying that. Let no man therefore judge you in respect of a holy day. You're keeping Sunday. It doesn't matter. You know? He said, don't let any man judge you. You just be convinced in your own mind. You know you're doing before God. And, oh, come on. You know, this people are just grabbing at a fly here. Yeah. Oh. And Christ has already spoiled the enemy. So why you let the devil spoil you when it's not necessary, right? Not necessary. Reading on here, verse 18. We see that these things are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you in your reward in a voluntary humility or worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. See, they're walking in the flesh, this tradition of man and doctrine of the demon, and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increases with the increase of God. See, Christ has already spoiled the enemy. Why are you letting the enemy spoil you through these traditions? The Bible says all have sinned. All. So why do we keep looking at our failures? Because the same Bible says all your sins are cleansed away by the blood of Jesus. Does that mean divorce? Yes, his grace is sufficient or more than enough for divorce. If you've been divorced, you ask forgiveness for the divorce, the Lord forgives you. You move on. You don't live through life with some kind of mark on you because you've had a divorce. You're an inferior Christian. Maybe you'll get into heaven and maybe you won't because you had that divorce. Well, this is ridiculous, isn't it? But, you know, that's the way it is in the church a lot. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 6 here. We'll read some more out of the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 6. Oh, yeah. These things, you're not going to be able to do successful warfare. You don't know these things because the enemy will bog you down with condemnation and beat you up. And you don't believe that you're able to see yourself the way God sees you when you're got all this tradition of man on you, weighing you down. 1 Corinthians 6:1, there are any of you having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world, and that the world should be judged by you? Are you so unworthy to judge the smallest matter? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? Oh my, did you get that? Let's go on to read verse 8. Jump down the page here. Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brothers, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicator, nor idolater, nor adulterer, nor effeminate, nor abuser of himself of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkard, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So notice, you may have been some of them things in the past, but see, that's not your nature now. He says, you are washed. You were that, but that puts it behind you. See, that puts it behind you. This doesn't apply to you because you are washed. You're not a fornicator. You're not an adulterer. It's because you fall into sin and adultery one time, and you repent, and you get up off the feet, back on your feet again. You know, the Bible says that you fall into temptation sometimes. It doesn't mean that you become an adulterer just because you committed adultery one time, see? Or you are a fornicator because you fornicated one time. What it does mean is you sinned and you need to confess your sin before God and be washed in the blood of Jesus, right? But that doesn't make you one of those things. You were that, but you're not that because it says, but you are washed. Such were some of you, but you are washed in the blood. You've been baptized. You're set apart. You're sanctified. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. Yeah. And by the Spirit of our God. You were that way, but you're not now. See? You're washed. It is not talking to the unrighteous. You are the righteous, right? But most of us aren't mature enough in God to really live in our righteousness. We still think in terms of man. We still think in terms of the traditions of man. The religious spirits have their way with us sometimes. Have to do something. Have to justify yourself. Let me give you an example of this is maturity. Look at verse 12 here. Verse 12. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer. We endure it. See? Okay. Wait a minute here. This is not where I want to read. I'm in Colossians, not the one. And I jump back to Corinthians for a moment. But now back to Colossians, verse 12. Let's see. No, that's not the one I'm looking for. Not the one I'm looking for either. Let me see. Okay. Well, I'm going to just pass that scripture up, okay? Because I'm not finding it right offhand here like I was hoping to. And I need it, but I'm not finding it. So 6:17. Okay, here we go here. I think I'm in the right place now. Let's see. We're looking at verse 12 of chapter 6. I was reading the wrong one. All things are lawful unto me, but not all things are not expedient or profitable. That word expedient means all things are lawful for me, but I will not be bought under the power of any of them. Right? So I could go out and drink a six-pack of beer, but is it expedient for me? Is it profitable? Sure, I could do it, but to do something will make you their slaves, right? Eventually, if you keep doing it and you go out and do that six-pack of beer every night, you're going to be a slave of alcohol. You pick up alcohol spirit. So I will not be brought under the power of anything or anyone. Why? Because I'm the bond slave of Christ. See? I'm the bond slave of Christ. And the body belongs to the Lord. See? Let's read the next verse. It says, meat for the belly for meat, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. So I am the Lord, and my body is his also. So it's the temple of the Holy Ghost. So I'm not going to do certain things just because I can do them, because I am joined to Christ, not to the devil. See? Is it because of law or tradition? No. Is it because of verse 17 here? Let's look at verse 17. But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. That's why I'm not going to do these things, because I'm joined to the Lord. See? I and God are one, and because of verse 19 and 20, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. See? That's why we're not going to do those things, not because of tradition or religion or do's and don'ts and all that. We're going to do it because we glorify God. We're the temple of God, who we are, what we are. Now, I'm not under the bondage of a law, see? But truly, in Christ, a person is free when a person recognizes that. So we better start putting off the spirits of traditions and man tradition and spirits of religion and putting off those spoils of religion that we hold on to and return to Christ our Lord. Because the Lord isn't impressed nor interested in a religious or traditional exercise. Well, one can teach a parrot to do that and say the right things, right? To do and say the right things. I mean, he's looking for his lovers. Those who love him, his church, his beloved. Would you want to marry someone who did just the right thing because they had to do it or they were supposed to do it? Or would you want to, someone who would only act out of their love for you? See? Do you see the difference there? The Lord told the thief who believed on him and said, when you come into your kingdom, save me. And he said, today you will be with me in paradise. He corrected the wind and said, today you should be with me in paradise. It's apparent from the scripture that Jesus didn't go into paradise this day. So what did he do? What did he mean when he said, today you will be with me in paradise? He's saying the same thing to us today. Today is the salvation. The day of salvation. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Now is the acceptable time. Remember, when Moses asked, what name was the Lord? He didn't say I was or I will be. What did he say? He said, I am that I am. See? So if we're to know him, we're going to have to know him in the present, right? We need to learn from our past, have a vision for the future. But, hey, we're living right now in the present. Today we're with him. Amen. Not tomorrow, even though we will be with him tomorrow because he doesn't change. But it doesn't matter what happened last year or even yesterday. What matters is that you and I are abiding in him right now. Today is the day of salvation. Today always will be today. Right? When tomorrow gets here, what is it? It's today. Right? Because when you get there tomorrow, it is today. Right? Today is the day of salvation. Today always will be. Today we too could be with him in paradise. Oh, how can we do that, Pastor? Well, are you not now seated with him in heavenly places? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the Bible says that we're seated with him in heavenly places. Many have come to know him through this scripture right here. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You know, a few have gone on to know the truth, but not many have come to know him as their very life source, though. Is he your life source? The way is not a path or a formula, but a person, right? And the truth is not a big book of biblical fact. No, it is him. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And he said, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. See? But we don't come into truly knowing in maturity, the way or the truth until we know him as our life and live from that life, which is Jesus, right? We need to be living from the life. We need to be living from him, right? Christianity is not doing something. It is knowing someone. And his name is I Am, our Jesus, right? It's not about doing something. People think it's just about doing something. I become a Christian, I have to do this, do good, do try harder, you know, all this stuff of religion and tradition. See, when we're spoiled as man, we have a weak excitement and a weak vision because, listen, we just, we've taken on formulas and substitutes, actions, and formulas for life. And we have to seek a relationship with our Lord that is, you know, that's the greatest reality of our life, a relationship that is the consuming and undivided concentration and devotion of our hearts, see? Not just formulas and activities and all these religious activities that people do. Come on. Listen, a storm is now on the entire world. That's right. And only the houses that are built on the rock are going to stand. Where are you building your house? Where is the house getting built at? Where is God building the house at? Is he letting him build it on the rock? Only that which is built on the rock is going to remain. That's right. Just as it says in Matthew 15:12, every plant which my Father did not plant will be rooted up. And when we turn to Jesus and live in our lives from the life, which he is, we'll be able to be excited. We'll be able to keep a fresh vision. And we'll be able to overcome the enemy and a lot of sin that's out there trying to get on him. That's right. When we're truly turned to Jesus, living from the life, see, you can never dry up totally when you're living from the fountain of living waters himself, right? You're not going to dry up. You're drawing from the fountains of living water from him. You're drawing them the rivers of life. I mean, this is why he said, if you abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Bearing fruit is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. It's manifesting Jesus. And to bear fruit, you can't be dry, right? Because the dry tree won't bring forth fruit. A lot of Christians are drying up today because they lost their vision. They've been spoiled by man's doctrines and traditions. Yeah, they're not drawing the living water from heaven, so they thirst. And they quit drinking from Christ from the fountain that never runs dry. Huh? I mean, remember the woman at the well? What is this water that he gives? What is this water that he gives? Let's read that last scripture. Let's read it as our last scripture today. John chapter 4, verse 13. It says here, whosoever, Jesus answered and said unto this woman at the well here, whosoever drinketh of this water shall never thirst again. I mean, shall thirst again. If you drink out of that well, you're going to thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of this water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Hallelujah. You get that? What is this water that he gives? I'll tell you what the water is that he gives. It's himself. He gives us himself. He is the fountain of life, the fountains of living water. He is everything. You don't have to be dried up an old prune looking thing, see? You don't have to ever lose your vision. Just return to Jesus. Drink deeply. See, if you don't drink my blood, eat my body, you have no part of me, he said. You see how all that fits together? Oh, come on. You need to return to him to make him really the Lord of everything in your life. Do it. What are you waiting for? See? Jesus is Lord. Okay? Jesus is Lord. Is he Lord of you? Today is the salvation, the day of salvation. Today is your day of salvation. Every day is our day of salvation, right? Every day is our day of salvation in Christ. So anyway, I want to give you these things too because, hey, if we don't get these away from the traditions of men, how are we going to be a successful warrior? They're going to tell you all kinds of things that will put you in bondage, the traditions of man, doctrines of demons. Unbelief is what they breed. Remember, Jesus couldn't do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. And he tells people that the traditions have made the Word of God of no effect. I wouldn't want the Word of God to be of no effect, so we got to get away from those things. We don't want something in our life that's going to make the Word of God of no effect in our life. Something wrong with that. We don't want that. That's not healthy for us. We need to be drinking from the fountain of living waters. We need to be feeding on the tree of life today. Feeding on Jesus. We just have one chance to get this right, see? And then after this, the judgment. We only go through life one time. You don't get to go into purgatory and hang out there for a while and get everything together that you didn't get together in this life. There is no such thing as purgatory. That was a doctrine of a demon. Just like so many other doctrines of religions and denominations are not doctrines of God. They may be twisted doctrines of God, but they're not the actual doctrine of God. The devil knows how to twist things, pervert things, counterfeit things, mess things up, and bait you into things that will bring you into bondage. That's why we war against the enemy. That's why we have binding and loosing. We're not put up with this stuff. We're not going to submit ourselves to it. We're not going to become a willing pawn of the devil in ignorance. See? And that's what he's got a lot of Christians doing. You got them being their pawn, but we don't want to be a pawn of Satan and demons. No, we're servant of the Most High God. We're sons and daughters of the living God. We have to get our identity right and keep it that way. Because the enemy is always trying to steal your identity and your view of yourself from you. The proper view when you do get it from God. He wants to steal it from you. Steal, kill, and destroy. Rob you of the truth. Rob you of the reality of God's kingdom. Rob you of believing that you even are in God's kingdom. It is ongoing warfare the rest of your life on earth till Jesus comes. That's why we pray, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Yeah, once it's the end, we'll be glad when it's over. We'll be glad when Jesus comes. There's no more devil around for 1,000 years anyway. And he's loose for a little while to go out and deceive the nation one last time. And his final destruction is already written. But not us again, because we are already sealed with the seal of God. But it'd be those that have not had that seal that have been living on the earth those 1,000 years. And that's another story. So, Father, we thank you that we have shared. And I challenge people, Lord, by the grace of God, to become a determined warrior, one that will not give in to the enemy and let the enemy have their way with them. And Lord, I thank you for the grace of God for people who want to be that forceful Christian, the grace to call them to be able to walk that way in that holy boldness, in that grace, Father. So Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the understanding that your Holy Spirit gives us, the teaching of the Holy Spirit tonight, that he has taught us things that we need to know. And we have received them. Hopefully everybody received the things that the Lord spoke to them. And now we walk in and we put them into practice. We put them into use. We'll by the Spirit of God live it out. Faith without action is dead. So we'll put action through faith to these things that we learn and apply them and go into warfare mode and take the enemy down from his high and lofty places that he tries to exalt himself in. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for that grace to do that, Father. We thank you for the fresh oil from heaven to do it. Thank you for the fresh anointing to do that. Thank you for the Holy Spirit in us to do it. We thank you, Lord, that we walk in the grace of God that gives us the strength to do it. Amen. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us today. Thank you for that today. Praise you, worship you, Lord. I ask you to just bring an outpouring in our life, Lord, more of you, Lord, from heaven, more of you. Let us drink deeply from the rivers of living water. Let us drink deeply from the fountain that never runs dry, Father. Be refreshed, Lord. Refresh us tonight. Renew our strength today, Father, we pray. In the name of Jesus, We glorify your name. We glorify you, Lord. And as we close this portion of the program and go into deliverance, we ask you to bless our time as we do deliverance here and minister to people and set them free, Father. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise and honor, Lord. Everybody say amen. Amen. Amen, mighty warrior. Amen, men and women of God. Bless you in Jesus' name. Go forth and fight the good fight of faith and see the good results of the kingdom. Bind and loose. Hallelujah. All right. Well, we'll be back just a second here, a few minutes. Thank you for listening, folks, tonight. I appreciate you being here with me. Appreciate you faithful listeners who've been here many times with me and over the years. I see some in the way they're listening by telephone that's been here many, many times. And I appreciate you. Love you. And thank you for listening and being faithful. Those of you who support the ministry, I thank you, too. Those who have supported through the years, we appreciate it so much. And we're just blessed to know you and blessed to have you here. So the Lord bless you for being so faithful. And we appreciate what the Lord has done for you, too, in life. And how that you know him. And it's wonderful that you're saved and that you love Jesus. Praise God. We just pray he'll continue to just bless you abundantly above all that you can think or ask. In Jesus' name. All right, let's do some deliverance here tonight. From the time that we have left, we got time to do some deliverance. So if you'd like to get some, now's a good time to do it. Amen? Amen. We'll get rid of demons. So if we have any lingering spirits of tradition on it, we command those spirits of tradition that are demonic traditions, religious tradition, denominationalism, anything that might be bound by that's trying to hold on to you, to hold you back and feeding you some lies about things, there you go right now. Come out. All that religious tradition, come out. Come out, come out, come out. Denominationalism, trying to keep you bound to some type of denominational creed or doctrine that is not necessarily biblical. So you come out right now. All that denominationalism spirit, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. We break the curse of it. Command the spirit to go right now. In the name of Jesus. You know, there's going to be a Baptist section in heaven, a Methodist section, an Assembly of God section. Or a non-denominational section, it's just going to be all Christian, all those who are born again, all those who know Jesus. Praise God. We'll all be brothers and sisters forever. And we won't argue about doctrines anymore. We won't say that a Christian can't have a demon anymore, and the preacher would grab you and all this stuff. That's just ridiculous. Come out. All that religious tradition, come out, 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 come out. Come out all the way out. In Jesus' name. Go. All that religious tradition. Go. In the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus against you. We break every curse right now and every witchcraft and every word curse against those who would try to send those things against any of us here. In Jesus' name. And we cancel the assignments of those negative words. We mentioned that earlier in the program. So we cancel assignments of negative words. Those who like cursing, let them be accursed. See? That's what it says in Psalms. Those who love his cursing, let him be accursed. Him who loves cursing, let him be cursed. So we send it back where it come from. We don't receive those curses. We send it back where it come from. We break the poverty curse right now. Poverty, bankruptcy. Go. Never get ahead. Always lacking. Never have nothing. Come out right now. Go in the name of Jesus right now. Come out of there. All those poverty spirits, you got to go. We break the curse of poverty. In the name of Jesus right now, loosen and let them go all the way out, all the way up out of there. Go, go, go. All poverty spirit, all that debt spirit. They keep people in debt, keep people in financial bondage to mammon. Come out. Come out. We break the curse of mammon. We break those curses right now. Go in the name of Jesus right now. Go all the way out, all the way out. All the way out, Jesus' name. Go, go, go. Come out. Come out of there. Come out of there. Go, go. Come out. Come on. All those spirits of poverty, bondage to mammon. Come out. Come out. Come out. We break the curse of never enough. Come out. Spirit of never having enough. Go, 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 go. All the way out. All the way out. Go in the name of Jesus. We break the power of the spirits over you in Jesus' name. We loose blessing on you. We loose prosperity on you where there was lack and never enough. We loose that abundant supply on you. The Bible says God will give you more than enough. So, Father, we thank you for more than enough. Thank you, Jesus. And we command the spirit of critical spirit, go right now. We break the curse of critical, always criticizing somebody or something Come on, all that critical spirit, go. In Jesus' name, we break that critical spirit. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, that gossiping spirit too. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. That spirit of gossip. That gossip about everything and everyone. Yeah, that hits you, that you feel you want to gossip about. Some demon gets you going on that stuff. Now come out of there. All that gossip, you got to go. Come out. Those gossiping, slandering spirits, go. Go, trying to stir something up. Come out. Come out. That's what demons do. They're trying to always stir something up among the brethren, among the sisters, among the saints. Always trying to stir something up. Somebody to backstab one another, gossip about somebody, tear each other down one way or the other, try to lift yourself up and put others down so you feel better about yourself. Come out. All the way out. We command that gossiping spirit to go right now. Gossiping spirit, come out. Come out. Nitpicking spirit, come out. Come out. Come out. Know-it-all spirit, come out. Come out. Nobody could tell you anything because after all, you know it all. So we command that know-it-all spirit to go right now. That know-it-all spirit, come out. Come out. Come out. Come out, 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 come out. In the name of Jesus right now, all the way out. That nitpicking spirit, that outspoken spirit, you talk over everybody else. And come out, all the way out. Don't listen to others. You just got to be the one that gets to speak and you're outspoken. Come out. All the way out. Come on. All the way out to go. In the name of Jesus. Go, 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 go. Come out. Come on out of there. All the way out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. That fear of the COVID. Fear of the COVID spirit. We command the COVID spirit to go. We command fear of COVID to go. Fear of the future too. Come out. Come out. Come out. All the way out. Go. Fear of COVID. Fear of the future. COVID spirit. Go. All the way out, go. All the way up out of there. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. In Jesus' name, go. The blood of Jesus is against you right now. The blood of Jesus, you have to go. Keep coming out. Keep coming out. All that fear, fear, fear of COVID, fear of the future. Come out. Fear of the end times. Come out. Fear of persecution. Come out. 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 All the way out. Go in Jesus' name right now. Go all the way out. Keep coming out. The blood is against you, demon. You know you have to go. We're commanding you to go. In Jesus' name, come out. Come out, 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 out. All the way out. All the way out. In Jesus' name, come out. Come all the way out. Religious spirit, go. Come on. Religious spirit, go, 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 go. Spirit of heaviness, you come out too. Spirit of heaviness, come out. Come out, come out, come out. Heaviness over the mind. Oppressed mind, come out. That spirit of the oppressed mind, come out of the mind, come out. Oppression of the mind, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Oppression of the mind, you got to go right now. Loose them and let them go. That's a mental oppression, come out. Come out, 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 come out. That spirit that doesn't want to let you believe what God says about you, who you are, come out all the way out. Doesn't want to let you believe that who you are in Christ, come out all the way up out of there. All that spirit, you got to go right now. Doesn't let you believe who you are in Christ. You can't see yourself the way God sees you. It blocks you. Come out of there right now. Go. Go, come out, come out, come out. That blockage all the way out, all that blockage, come out. We break the control of that mental blockade. You come out of there, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, all the way out. Go, in Jesus' name, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All that comparison spirit, those spirits that cause you to compare yourself to someone else and find yourself always not as good as. Yeah, always finding yourself not as good as someone else, and you're always comparing yourself. That's comparison spirit. You come out right now. Go in the name of Jesus. All that comparison spirit. Come out. Come out. Come out, comparison. Come out. all the way out. Go, 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 go. Come out, 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 come out of there. All the way. All that comparison, comparing yourself with other people. Come out. I'm not as good as they are. Wasn't looking all wrong with me. I'm not got it together like they do. All that comparison. Come out. Come out. Come out, 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 come out. Come out of there, all the way out, all the way out. In Jesus' name, go, 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 go. Come out, come out. That memory recall, always have tormenting things from the past coming up in your mind and remembering them. That memory recall, that negative memory recall, come out. Negative memory recall, come out now, all the way out. Thinking of things that happened in the past that are negative, that always bringing up something from the past that is negative. Negative memory recall. Come out of there, all the way out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name, that negative memory recall. You have to go. I bind you. I break your hold over people. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Negative memory recall. Come out. Tormenting stuff from the past. I bind you. I bind you. Come out of there. Out, out. In Jesus' name. Come on. Cough them up. All the way out. Let them go. Come out. All that negative memory recall. The blood of Jesus is against you. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Always remembering things that bring pain, bring misery, make you afraid of the future and harass you in the present. Come out. All that negative memory recall, all the way out. Come out of there, all the way out. Go, in Jesus' name, go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Deaf and dumb, hard of hearing, dullness of hearing, hard to hear spiritual things, hard to hear truth. We command that dullness of hearing to come out in Jesus' name. Come out, come out, dullness of hearing right now. Loose them and let them go. That dullness of hearing, come on up out of there. I bind you. Break your hold over people. Come out. Come out now. Dullness of hearing. You got to go all the way out. All the way up out of there. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Dullness of hearing. Go. 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 Come out. Come out. Come out. All the way out. All the way out. Feeling like you're the black sheep of the family. You come out. Come out. Oh, you're the black sheep. Yeah, everybody else accepted, but you're not so much accepted. Come out. All that black sheep spirit. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. All the way out. Come 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 out. All the way up out of there. Go. Right now, the black sheep would break the curse of you being the black sheep. Come out. All the way out. Go. 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 Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Come out, all the way out, all the way out, in Jesus' name. You have to go. You have to come out. You have to move, in Jesus' name. Keep moving. Keep coming out. I bind you. I break your hold. And I loose deliverance on you right now. Deliverance from those demons. Come out, all the way out. Spirit of lethargy, complacency, and no ambition. Come out. Come out, come out, come out, lethargy spirit, complacent spirit, come out, fatigue, tiredness, weariness, come out, all the way out, all that weariness, weariness, come out, all the way, come out, all the way out, come out, come on, I bind you, I break your hold, come out, tiredness, come out, weariness, come out, 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 all that weariness. Well, feeling like you're just tired all the time. That fatigue spirit, come out. Come out now. I bind you. I break your hold. Come out. Tiredness, fatigue, come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. No ambition, complacent spirit, come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out of there. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We bind you. We break your hold. We loose you from that spirit right now. Come out. Liberate you from that spirit. You come out of there, all the way out. All the way out of there. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Ugly spirit, feeling that you're ugly. Come out, that ugly spirit that tells you you're ugly. Come out, come out, that ugly spirit. Come out, come out, come out. Spirit of ugliness telling you you're ugly. All the time you look in the mirror, you think you're ugly. Come out. All that ugly spirit, I bind you. Come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All the way out. Let it go. All the way up out of there. Go. All that ugly spirit. We break the curse of the ugly. Come out. In Jesus' name. Come out. Come out of there. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Loosen and let them go. All that spirit feeling ugly. Come on. All the way out. I bind you. You're a liar, demon. You're a liar. Come out. Come out. God doesn't see any of us as ugly. Come out. All the way out. We got to see ourselves the way Jesus sees us. Come out. Come on. All the way out. All the way out. Go, 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 go. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. All the way. Keep going. All that spirit of performance. You come out. Come out. Religious performance and performing for others. Come out. Always on the performance train. Come out. In Jesus' name. Come out. All that performance. Always got to perform for somebody. Trying to please. Come out. In Jesus' name. All that performance spirit. Go. In Jesus' name. All that performance, loosen and let them go. Come out of there. All the way out. All the way out. Keep going in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out. Bad dream, nightmare spirit. You come out too. Come out. Bad dream, nightmare. Nightmares, come out. Incubus, succubus, night spirits, go. Water spirits, go. Out of there, all the way out. Come out, 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 come out. Come out, all the way. Keep going. Come out, forgetting things. Come out, come out. Forgetfulness, come out. Forgetfulness, go. In the name of Jesus, break the curse of forgetfulness. Go, come out. Come out of there, all the way out. All that forgetting things, forgetfulness, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out of the mind. Let go of the mind. Come out. All that forgetfulness, in Jesus' name. All the way out. All the way out, in Jesus' name. Go, move, 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 move. All those night spirits that come in the night, give you dreams and things, come out. All those night spirits, wet dreams, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Sexual dreams, come out. Come out, fantasy dream, come out, come out, come out. Dreams of being falling or dreams of being locked up and tied up in a claustrophobic situation. Come out, claustrophobia, come out. All those night spirits, you keep coming out, all the way out, all the way out. Claustrophobia, come out, 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 come out. Keep coming out, all those night spirits, you got to go. Spirits that attack in the night with dreams or fear or strange dreams, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out of there, all the way out. We break your power. We break your bad dream spirits, these night spirits, the visitations of night spirits. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, all the way out. Go in the name of Jesus. Have to go. Loose the people. Let them go. All the way out. Those night spirits, come out. All of them have to go. All the way out. All the way out. Spirit wives and spirit husbands that visit in the night, come out, 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 all the way out. Let them go, all the way. The blood of Jesus is against them. Has to go all the way out. The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, come out. Come out of there, all the way out, all the way out. Go in Jesus' name, all the way out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, night spirits, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All that insecure spirit makes you insecure in your relationship with God and with people. All that insecure spirit, come out. We break the curse of always being insecure, having to deal with insecurities all the time throughout life. Come out. We break the power of that spirit of insecure. Come out, come out, come out. We've been accepted in the beloved. We're not rejected in the beloved. We're accepted in the beloved. But that insecure spirit has to go. Come on out now in the name of Jesus. Move, move right now. Move in Jesus' name. Go, go. Come out, come out, come out, come out. Insecure, come out, come out. All that insecure, you got to go. You got to move in the name of Jesus right now. Move, keep moving out. All the way out. All insecure spirits. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Keep going all the way,
all the way. Keep coming out. Keep coming out. Up and out. Up and out. Up and out. Go, 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 go. Come out all the way. Keep loosing people. Let them go. Insecure. Break that insecurity. Come on. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come on out. Up and out. Up and out. I bind you. I break your hold. Keep going. Keep going. All the way. All the way. In Jesus' name. Father, we seal this deliverance. These kids have to go. Everyone that's been called out throughout the evening, they have to keep coming out. All the way out until they're gone. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give you glory, Father. We give you praise. Seal this deliverance to your saints. I ask you to bless every listener to the program and minister to them today, tomorrow, throughout the next week. Encourage them in the Lord, Father. We praise you. We exalt you. Thank you for this deliverance tonight. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Amen. All right, we're going to say goodbye for the evening. It's come to the end of another broadcast. I appreciate you tuning in again, as I said a moment ago. The Lord be with you, and we will see you back next week. Same time. Bye-bye. Lost in time, they'll know.
that's all for tonight. Dear ones, appreciate each of you, and we will talk to you again next week. Good night, and have a good night and good rest tonight. Bye-bye.